Hello and welcome to the Houston Vineyard Podcast. We sincerely hope that this message is a blessing to you. Enjoy.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I'm taller than that. Hey, I'm super excited about the Summer of Wonder, and I'm super excited about your being here today. And we're going to be diving into the power of the Holy Spirit. And I can't imagine anything more wonderful than that. If you don't know me, and I appreciate the kindness that so many people in this church have always extended to me, but I got saved in a Pentecostal church. So I cut my teeth on speaking in tongues and all of that. So you need to know where I'm coming from, all right? Having said that, and as soon as I got saved, I knew I was called to the ministry. I mean, no one had to tell me. No one said, this is what you're supposed to do. It immediately started then. And that was in 1975. And I've seen a lot of things, and I've done a lot of things, and I've made a ton of mistakes, and I've seen a ton of mistakes. And so I want you to know I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly about the power of the Spirit. And so this morning, I've really leaned into praying, said, Lord, I want a fresh take on this. I don't want to just speak on what I've preached probably many times before, or heard many times before, or read many times before. I want something fresh this morning. We need something fresh this morning. So we're going to actually start in the book of Luke. Luke was a masterful writer, believer. Luke was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He was medically trained as a doctor. He was a traveling companion of Paul. And Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And so I want us to start there. Luke 24, verses 45 through 49. I'm probably going to talk fast. I won't be speaking in tongues, but I'll be talking fast, because I want to get through a lot of material today. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. The reason I guess I'm a little choked up. Don't think the power of the Spirit is without pain and suffering. It is not Disneyland. It is not, woo-wee, we're going to have a good time now. It has some of that, but it also has pain and struggle and difficulty. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This has always been for all. You're going to hear that many times this morning. All, for everybody. And you are witnesses of these things. Not just you, them, you, me, you, us. When you got saved, when you gave your heart and life to Jesus, and you said, you take over, you became one of his witnesses. It's not an option. It's not a gift of the Spirit. You are a witness. You are called to be a witness. And as we're going to see, the only way we can dream or imagine or even possibly attempt to do that is through the power of the Spirit. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed, endued, and filled with power from on high. Power, I don't have time this morning to go into. Power is a powerful word. It's not just fireworks. It's not just, what are the ones that's, it's not just sparklers. It's power. It's powerful. It changes lives. It changes marriages. It changes families. It changes neighborhoods. It changes churches. It changes culture and society and nations by the power of the Spirit. Now, let's move into Acts. Luke basically documents, the Gospel of Luke basically documents the life and ministry activity of Jesus. The book of Acts primarily documents the ministry activity of the early church. Acts 1, verses 4 through 8. This was post-resurrection. He's spending time with the disciples over the period of 40 days. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, which that's a side note, but eating together, and I'm not saying this to be funny or joke, is a very, very spiritual activity. Spending time to eat with someone you don't agree with can change your heart and change your life. So he's eating with them, and he gives them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift from my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with waters, but in a few days you will be baptized. You will be immersed. You will be saturated with or in the Holy Spirit. And then they asked him a question, and Josh alluded to this last week, which we may see, dummies, why are you asking it? Then they gather around him and ask him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, that was a very thoughtful and reasonable question that they asked, and I won't go into where they were coming from, but I will go into where often we come to. I don't know if it's unique to our Western mindset, but we are always trying to figure out dates, times, formulas, and algorithms. We want to know what the secret is. We want to look for what is the three ways to, what is the five ways to. We're always looking for a script. We're looking for a formula. We're looking for a way how to get between here and there. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. This is what you do. That is very human, but it is not at all very spiritual. And this is what Jesus said. He didn't call them dummies. He said to them, it is not for you to know. In the Greek, it means, it is not for you to know. It is not for you to know. Way before Frozen, Jesus said, let it go. Stop trying to figure out the timing. Stop trying to figure out the magic formula. Stop looking for some inner secret, some special knowledge. You know, you only get this by the Spirit. There is no secret. This is public. This is public. There's no secret. There's no special sauce. There's no secret handshake. There's no secret insignia. Stop trying to figure it out. The times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. He just said, let it go. Stop concerning yourself with it. He didn't say this, but I've spent 40 plus years of ministry seeing people get distracted, confused. Whole parts of the church have started, risen, and fallen based on trying to set times and dates and maps and all sorts of things. But this is what he answered and said. He said, let it go, but you will receive power. You don't need to worry about dates and times and formulas and algorithms, because you're going to receive power. Watch me, Benjamin. Don't let me get too loud. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is for everybody. This is for everybody. And then moving on now into Acts 2, verse 1, which we often know as the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Spirit. So when the day of Pentecost came, and I won't take time, it was a major festival in the life of Jewish believers. They were all together. They were in unity, not uniformity. Oh, if we could ever learn that in the church, that it's unity that's important, not uniformity. There is a way through the power of the Spirit that we can be unified without agreeing. Oh, I know in the flesh it's impossible. I knew that way before 2021, 2020, 2019, 2018, my whole life. We cannot be unified without the power of the Spirit. Suddenly, they heard a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They heard something. They saw something which seemed to be like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues. And all that other stuff is cool and interesting, and Dr. Luke was recording. He was transcribing. He was recording what he saw, and there's nothing wrong with observations. But then he put something in here that I think is so important for us. As the Spirit enabled them, or the NRSV says, as he gave them ability. Anything that's an expression of the Holy Spirit is because of the Holy Spirit. The reason why I think that's important, it's actually not the focus this morning, is that typically in the areas of Pentecost and charismatics, on the spectrum of belief from that, the one end says, woohoo, bring it on. We just need to, we don't even need preaching. We don't need the word. We don't need to organize anything. We just need to wait in the presence of the Lord and let him have his way. Glory. The other end of the spectrum says, ooh, no, no. Everything needs to be in order and quiet and controlled. That's a spectrum, all right? What we lose is this is we need to lean into what the Spirit does. What we often lose is that if the Spirit uses anybody, whether in good preaching or pastoring or praying for the sick, watching miracles do, we get our eyes on the vessel. We get our eyes on the person. And then we're shocked out of our gourds when we find out they haven't paid their income tax in 20 years. We're shocked out of our gourds to find out they've been sleeping around. The power of the Spirit is never a sign of approval of character and integrity. So just because God uses somebody in anything, preaching, singing, leading worship, casting out demons, it doesn't matter. None of it is their credit. John Wimber was just a man, and he was kind of a cool guy because he didn't grow up religious. But he got saved in a Quaker church. Some of you find that hard to believe. He got saved in a Quaker church, filled with the Spirit in a prayer meeting. And he learned this lesson early on because he was wonderfully used of God in praying for the sick and praying for people and building what we now know as the Vineyard Movement. But he said this, and I think this is healthy for all of us. As people would understandably come up and say, oh, that was wonderful, that was amazing, you're awesome. He would say, I'll take all the encouragement, but I'm going to give God all the glory. And you need to remember that, because the first time the Spirit, the Spirit wants to use you. Again, this is all of us. This is no criteria. But the first time the Spirit uses you, you'll say, yeah, that's pretty good. I did pretty good. It's amazing our human tendency to want to take credit for something God did. So remember, take the encouragement, but give God the glory. That's line up this morning. That's on the side. Verse 5, now there was staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. The power of the Spirit always, people are, what in the world is going on? Because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. They were utterly amazed. Amazement. They asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God, God's deeds of power in our own tongues, in our own dialects. So the miracle in this setting, in this moment, was that all these different people, the only common denominator they had is they all feared God. And some were Jews and some were converts from other places, but they were internationally from all over. And what they heard is this group of local folks from the Galilean region were not only speaking in language, and they weren't speaking in Greek, they weren't speaking in Hebrew, they weren't speaking in Aramaic, they were speaking in the languages of their hometowns. And they were not only speaking in their languages, they had the right accents, the right enunciations, and the right tones. And that's what was the amazement. Like, how are these guys doing that? All right. That's that. All right. That happened. I see Tom and Jonelle here. Wouldn't it be great? There was a time missionaries thought, we'll just pray in the Spirit and they'll give us the ability to speak the language of the people. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen. So the other thing we need to learn through the power of the Spirit, there are things that have happened, they're real, but just because it happened in real doesn't mean that you want to, like, I don't need to go to language school. I'll just pray in the Spirit and people will understand. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. So just because something happens doesn't mean we say, oh, that's the only way it can happen, and that's the only way it's supposed to be happen. We've run into those issues with divine healing. You want to be healed, you be prayed for, you never go to a doctor, you never take medicine, you never go to a hospital. There were parts of the church that have believed that and preached that, and still believe and preach that. And the point is that there are things that are normal, but they're not normalized. Don't build your life and your system off of it. Again, that's on the side. They were amazed and perplexed. Let me tell you something. This is God we're talking about. The Holy Spirit is not an it or a thing. He's not a tonic. He's not something you get out of a jar and rub it all over you. He's God. And you don't put God in a box. And you don't treat him like a tonic. Or the fact that he delivered you from cocaine, so now you're addicted to the Holy Spirit. Get your worship on. You know, when you're younger, you can do a lot of things you can't do as well when you're older. But again, all those things are just expressions. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the power of the Holy Spirit. And they asked a good question. What does this mean? That's a great question. That's a question we should keep asking ourselves today. As the Holy Spirit's been, what does this mean? What is he saying? What does he want me to do? Not like, ooh, yeah, I like that. Not sure about that. That's usually what we focus on. Rather than what is the Holy Spirit saying to me in this moment today? And some, however, made fun of them, and they said they've had too much wine. Not surprisingly, people usually fear or mock or ridicule or make fun of what they don't know and they don't understand. In fact, I know I have, and I bet I'm not the only one that's ever done that. And here's the key. The Holy Spirit, God has designed this. He didn't have to, but he's designed this, that he invites all human beings, every person in this room, every person you know, every person you like, and every person you don't like, every person you agree with, and every person you violently disagree with. I'm going to fall down here. And that would just be me. That's not the Holy Spirit. But it's the Spirit of God through imperfect fallen humanity. And so it doesn't matter whether we shake or we bend or we fall or we roll or we're loud or we're quiet. It doesn't matter if the music is fast or slow. We don't need to help the Holy Spirit out. It doesn't matter where we're wearing dress clothes or we're casual in jeans and a polo shirt. The packaging doesn't matter. The packaging has to be pastored. I was Pentecostal as a Pentecostal pastor. And, you know, people who would scream bloody murder and scare the bejeebers out of you, you'd have to take them aside and say, look, I know you love the Lord. I know you're filled with the Spirit, but you don't have to scare us into listening to God. You pastor it. You pastor the packages. But don't focus on the package. Don't become enamored like, ooh, I like that. You know, I heard over there, they've got gold dust in the air. Or they got gold in their teeth. Or they got legs growing out to there. That's all great. Don't become enamored with it and don't become repulsed by it. Don't focus on the package. Focus on the Spirit. Now, I want to tell you one more anecdote, again from John Wimber. In his church, the Anaheim Vineyard, there was something known as the Mother's Day Outpouring of 1980. It was Mother's Day service, And there was a guy named Lonnie Frisbee who came in as a guest speaker, young evangelist. And Lonnie was a very imperfect vessel, a very imperfect person, but very mightily used by the Holy Spirit. And it's public information, it's not a secret. Lonnie struggled with homosexuality and addiction for most of his life. And yet, in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit fell on that congregation in such a way, and people were just, I mean, it wasn't no big da-da-da, it was like, I mean, just boom, 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 and it went on that way for weeks. Now, here's the thing that was interesting. John Wimber, I didn't know this, you can look, go on YouTube, find it, watch the interview. John Wimber said, he says, you know, I'm a bit of a trained sociologist. I went back and I interviewed everybody in our congregation over that period of time who had these experiences and asked them this question. Okay, you had that experience, you fell, you rolled, you laughed, you cried, whatever. How are you living now? And every single one said, I love God more, I read my Bible more, I pray more, I love people more, I want to talk to them about how much I love God. And in that local church, over the course of Mother's Day was in May, so over the course of that summer, they baptized over 500 people who came to faith in that single church. And he said, that's just our church. This didn't just happen in our church, it happened in our whole area. Now here's the point. It's not how the vessel acts in the moment. Again, remember, it has to be pastored. People are going to hurt themselves or hurt someone else. Not intentionally, but, you know, run into them, knock them over, whatever. You just say, God bless you here. Let's just kind of put you over here where you can't hurt anybody. You pastor them. You love them. You respect them, okay? But it's not how they fall. It's how they get up and live. How do they live? How have they changed as a spouse? How have they changed as a parent? How have they changed as a neighbor? How have they changed at work? How have they changed in school? How do they live in the power of the Spirit? That's more lagniappe. Lagniappe, that's Cajun for it's a little extra. Then, verse 14, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. He said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Joel 2, verses 28 through 32. You can go back and look at it. And he quotes which was an eschatological redemptive. Yes, that word is a very technical word, right? I mean, I don't even think I could make up a sentence to fit that word in. But what it just means is end times, you know. And again, we've gotten all, you know, in the mid-70s, I got saved. You know, we had charts and maps and things running all over the church. And the mark was this and the beast was that. And let me tell you something. When people are afraid and people are desperate and people are scared, they will start imagining all kinds of things. And in this recent go-round of 2020, 2021, there's been a return of that on some elements of the church, have gotten kind of caught up in that again. That's very human. It's human. But see, this is why we need the power of the Spirit. We are just as, again, being full of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, doesn't mean your life doesn't have challenges. Doesn't mean you won't battle cancer. Doesn't mean you won't battle misunderstanding. Doesn't mean people won't lie about you and say ill about you and be unkind to you. So don't think this is a rose garden. It's not. But the power of the Spirit is the only way that we can live as a witness for Jesus Christ. And so this Joel 2, verses 28 through 32, was to the children of Israel who were in bondage. And it's fitting for us that even though we're in the last eschaton, we're in the age of the church, and one day Jesus is going to come, and everything that he wants and everything that we want is going to be a living reality. But between now and then, that's what the Holy Spirit's for. I need to lean into that. I know some people who have cancer that I want to see healed. I know some people who have chronic mental illness that I want to see healed. I know people who need miracles, and those are just the ones I know. You know people. And that's the other thing. We only know what we know. We don't know what we don't know. I have no idea. You have no idea what that person that you can't stand is going through. You have no idea. And maybe we ought to back up a little bit and say, God, forgive me of my judgment and my hateful thoughts and my anger. And Holy Spirit, save them, heal them, deliver them, transform them. So, Joel 2, God says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all, A-L-L. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I love this. The church is supposed to be multi-generational. In our own efforts, it never will be. Do you hear me this morning? No matter where you are in life, if you're married and have young kids, you want the church to be just like you. Everybody's married and has young kids because that's where I'm at. If you're single, you want everybody to be single. If you're old and grumpy, you want everybody to be old and grumpy, just like you. That is the limitations of our humanity. Let's just call it what it is. But if the Spirit intends for a church where young, you're not too young to be full of the Spirit, and you're not too old. In the Church of Jesus Christ, there is no ageism. There is no racism. There is no gender bias. Now, there is in the world. There is in culture. There is in society. And yes, even in parts of the church, there sure is. But the only way it's going to change is through the power of the Spirit. Not me getting mad about it. Not me trying to call down fire on those people I don't like. James and John did that, didn't they? We'll just call down fire. I think they must have been able to do it. I'm so glad God didn't give us that ability. Or remember that guy who lied about what he gave the church and his wife lied with him? It had nothing to do with what they gave, but they lied to the Holy Spirit. And they died. And I think about that, and you may say, oh, you're the money guy. I know you're going to preach this sermon. But aren't you glad God didn't kill you and you lied to him? I am. I can't remember specifically. I bet Glow can, but I bet I've lied to him this week. Even on my servants and my slaves. Yeah, slaves. You know, the church is intended to have all kinds of socioeconomic status. That sounds so wonderful and so great. You all know how hard that is. For people to feel accepted and wanted and open. It sounds so easy. It sounds so simple. It sounds just do it. Make it happen. We can't even get along people who live next door to us. Regardless, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I'm reminded of Paul's epistle to Galatians where he said, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit can transcend human barriers. It doesn't happen overnight. I wish it would. I wish we could just pray in the Spirit this morning and boom, it happened. But it doesn't. But it does happen. But the only way it's going to happen is we have to start in the Spirit. And then as the Spirit leads us through our actions in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our jobs, in our culture, in our society, that's how things change. But I've always thought, you know, I've got this good idea and I'm just going to ask God to bless it. This is what I think we ought to do, and now I'm going to pray God, God bless this, because I think it's a good thing to do. That's human. It's self-centered. It's short-sighted, but it's very human. But instead, he's saying, why don't you ask me what I want to do? And here's the kicker this morning as we move in, and the thing I really feel like the Lord pressing in on. Like I said, I know some of us, I know some of your situations, I know how desperately I want to see God move in your situation. And this is what I feel like the Spirit's leaning in on me this morning. He said, but Harry, rather than focusing on what you want me to do in them, he said, I want you to focus on what I want to do in you. And then verse 21, and everyone who calls and keeps calling out on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now that word saved is so rich and so full. It's it's basically kind of become limited and neutered. We think saved is like, well, you know, this is saved and all that other stuff. I don't know about that. That's something else. But the same word for saved, healed, delivered, transformed, it's the same word. It's the same word. It's a package deal. God's not interested in just doing, okay, it's okay for you to do this, but I don't want you to do that. I'm okay with this. I'm comfortable with this. I'm comfortable with this, but I'm not comfortable with that. You can change this, but don't change that. He says, I want to do the whole thing. I want to heal you, Harry. I want to deliver you, Harry. I want to transform you, Harry. I don't care if you're 65. I don't care if you think you're too old, too short, or too fat. He said, I want to do something in you. I still want to do something in you. I haven't given up. I'm not frustrated. I'm not upset. I haven't lost patience. Why don't you give me another chance? Salvation. I need to be saved. And we say, oh, well, you know, you give your life to Jesus. You'll need to do that once. We're just limiting it. We're just limiting it. I need the Holy Spirit to save, heal, and deliver, transform me. These are some things I wrote down about me. From my sin, my ego, my pettiness, my angry, hateful thoughts, my pride, and my judgment. In this summer of wonder, Holy Spirit, come and do what you want in me. God wants to do this in us. God wants to do this in all of his church. But before he can do it out there or over there, I think he wants to do it here, but this here, right here. That's not the sign of the cross. That's Harry. All that he is and all that he is not. I want to do something right here. So I'm done. Team, come back up. I don't know what you want to do. I think we need to. We're going to worship a little bit more. I want you to consider this morning. I don't have to know the details of your life. I can sense it. We need to get back to the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not just talking about a Holy Ghost hoedown. I want to be changed. I want to be more. And I can't do it on my own, no matter how much I want to. So Holy Spirit, come this morning. Have your way. And I pray you pray with that with me also. God bless you.
Gift from the Father, Spirit, fire of love, come now, just like you promised, you said you'd come, Spirit of God. We are humble. We are humble before you, watching, waiting for you, expectation. We know you'll come, Spirit of God. Breathe on us, Spirit of God. Breathe on us, Spirit of God. Oh, come breathe on us. You can come like the wind if you want to. You can burn like a fire in our hearts. You can shake everything till it trembles. You can whisper the songs of your love. We know you'll come. You can come like the wind if you want to. You can burn like a fire in our heart. You can shake everything till it trembles. You can whisper the songs of your love. You can whisper the songs of your love. You can whisper the songs of your love. We know you'll come, Spirit of God.
As the team keeps playing, Holy Spirit is here. Holy Spirit is here. And the message that Harry gave, we need to respond to it, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to do something for me. If you're online, go ahead and do this too. But Holy Spirit wants to just come open the gates of your life and just invade every ounce of your being and your family. And all that comes with it. And the power and the fire is not to destroy. The power and the fire is to edify you and destroy the chains that are holding you back. So you're going to place your hand on your belly right now. And you don't need anything. Holy Spirit is powerful enough. Holy Spirit, come inside. Say yes to Him. Come inside of me. And do your powerful work in my life. And just tell Him, I receive you. I want you in my life. And Holy Spirit, I pray that as the church goes, that you visit them, even at night in their sleep, that they will start to feel something inside of them that they don't know before. That's your Spirit quickening and waking them up. That even when you're eating with your family, that when you're walking, Holy Spirit, come. And come like a fire if you want to. Come like a wind if you want to. Just say yes and say, Holy Spirit, we are ready. Come. And if you don't know the Lord, just say yes, Lord. Jesus, I give my life to you. If you're online watching this, just repeat this with me. Jesus, I give my life to you. I receive you. Forgive me. Forgive me because there is one God and I am not that God. It's you. Come in my life. Jesus Christ, I want to know you. Cover me with your precious blood. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
So as we go this week, may the Spirit of the living God be on you in ways that are new and powerful.
Yes.
May they transform things that have been blocked and locked and chained up for a long time. And may it be for the benefit of your soul and for the example of your love to those, his love to those around you. And this is our prayer. May the living God,
que el Dios vivo,
creator of all the heavens and the earth,
creador del cielo y de la tierra,
may he richly bless you and keep you,
que él te bendiga y te guarde,
may he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you,
que él haga su rostro resplandecer sobre ti y te dé su paz,
may he smile on you and fill you with his peace,
que Dios mismo te sonría y te dé su paz.
You have been and continue to be extravagantly loved by our Father.
Ha sido siempre y sigue siendo hoy amado por tu Padre Celestial.
Go do the same.
Ve y haz lo mismo. Have a great week of worship. And if you want to do something today that makes a difference in people's lives, go and give blood right outside here in the parking lot. It's a blood drive. They need it. So if you are willing, if you're able, if you have permission to do that, go and do that today. And we will see you here next Sunday. Goodbye, everybody. And if you need prayer, sorry.
If you need prayer, we'd love to pray with you. There's people on either side online. There's people. God bless you guys.